Amen. Philippians chapter number 1, verse 6. Verse 6. Being confident of this very thing. I'm glad there's some things we can be confident about. And if you've got no confidence this morning about this, you need it. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He will. He will. Father, I pray you'd help us now for a little while. God, touch our hearts. Bless Brother John next door. I pray, God, you'd use him. God bless those children. I pray, God, they'll learn, they'll glean this morning, learn more about you. Help us to get closer to you. Help us to be able to be the witness that we need to be. And Father, we'll thank you and we'll praise you. In Jesus' name, I ask these things. Amen.
Amen.
You can be seated and thank you for standing. I'm afraid we are living in an hour when the majority of the time, if you ask most people anything about their salvation or their Christian walk, there's a very gray answer. Does anybody know what I mean by that? A gray answer. There's an answer that could be taken just about any way. I asked somebody this week if they were Christian. They said, yeah. I said, praise the Lord. Now, I understand. Y'all going to think bad about me for this. I didn't dissect them. What do you mean by that? I didn't drill them. If you're an adult, you're old enough to know what a Christian is. If you've been in church any time of your life, most of us all have, raised in church, most of us, thank God. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God that the Lord opened the door that either we could be raised in church or we could watch somebody that was raised in church be a good example before us. So I asked this person, I said, are you a Christian? I said, yes, sir. I said, praise the Lord. And then I asked them, I said, do you live in the area? Do you go to church? And they told me where they went to church. I said, wow. I said, how's that church doing? I see, this just, I mean, y'all gonna think I slipped off the bed this morning and busted my head. Actually, this, something might have happened. I walked into Mama's pump house the other night and hit my head. And I'm honest before the Lord. I thought I was going to have to get a step ladder to stand up there, crawl up there, and scratch the knot I had on my head. Jeremy cut my hair. Can y'all tell I've got a haircut? God bless your heart. Only the older women have said that. Thank y'all. Thank you. Thank you. I love this lady right here. Brother Ron's probably paying her. You just say nice stuff about him. Don't you say no what you're thinking. I said, how's that church doing? She said, it's doing good. I said, praise the Lord. You say, is it a church like us? No. But whether it's a church like us or not, my commandment is to be kind. Somebody's going to have to help me this morning. I'm afraid because we got to witness to somebody. The thing's bothered me ever since yesterday. You know what I'm talking about? I'm confident that he started the work. Number one, let me say, if he didn't start the work, you ain't got no confidence. If he didn't start it in me, in you, you probably got started wrong. Brother Jay, we could work on that old bus out there and we could do everything that we need to do to it. But the real thing, the right way, is to put gas in it and a good battery and a key in the ignition and just let Sister Julia sit down there and just turn that key over. I've seen people do all kind of crazy things trying to get them started and fight with them all day long. Never get it running. I've seen a lot of people call themselves Christians. They tried to get started the wrong way. Their way. Their ideas. But if we'll let the Lord Jesus start this thing in us, we can be confident that He is the one, number one, that started it. He is the one that'll take us through it. And He's the one that'll deliver us out of it. All right? Let's look at our text again. Because we're really looking at the Christian life this morning and how that once we get it started, it might be up to you to have a little part in keeping it rolling. Jared was home this weekend and it was so good to get to see him and Jennifer. And I was thinking, Brother Mike, I was reading this verse and I was thinking about Jared learning to ride a bicycle. Now, Jared, Brother Jay, I don't even know if you'd recognize him. I'm serious. He's grown up. His hair's down on his back. I'm just kidding. It ain't like that. No, he got a haircut yesterday. Hallelujah. And but I was thinking it's so easy. One of you mamas and daddies could help me look back on your children. Remember when they're just babies. And I was thinking about him learning to ride a bicycle, Brother Gary. And you know, whenever we first got him a bicycle, it was a little bit awkward for him. And matter of fact, we put him on it, and we'd have to hold it and kind of balance it ourselves. Because first thing he wanted to do was just take both feet up off the pavement and put them on the pedals. He thought he could just go from 0 to 60 in 5 seconds on that bicycle, you know. And you got to learn when you're starting out, one foot's going to have to be on the ground. I'm thinking a lot of Christians in the Christian hour we live in, they have jumped up on their Christian life and they took both feet off the ground. And they just thought they could just go from just got saved to I'm pastoring a church or whatever, being a missionary. And so, we tried to teach him, Brother Gary, son, whichever foot that you like to utilize, that you like to have your strength in, your right foot or your left foot to kick with or whatever, that's probably the foot with your most power. You want to maybe put that on the pedal. That's your go foot. And he'd take that thing and he'd push. And we just, you know, how you kind of give them a little shove. It ain't going to be long. You're going to have one. They're going to be out there videoing and just enjoying the growth of a baby. And he got to where he could take off. But the only way he could get going was somebody had to push him. Whether it was me or mom or one of the girls, Kristen would help him. Ashlyn would try to hurt him. And she's probably watching this morning. God bless you. I hate that you're sick, baby. I wish you was here. But she didn't mind inflicting pain on his body. That's just the truth, and I don't know no other way to tell it. Am I right? And so once he figured that thing out, Brother Neil, once I get to rolling, I've got this. Man, ain't that a blessing? Once you get it going. I mean, ain't it a great confidence to know that in this Christian life that God's helping you and leading you and guiding you and feeding you and training you and using you for His glory? Isn't that wonderful? But boy, sometimes we still have trouble getting started. Sometimes we still have trouble because we want to jump out of bed and throw both feet on the pedals and get them going. But once we ever learn that there's a right way to start, And it might be that you can just take that thing and just sit on that seat and just give yourself a little shove, and you're rolling already, and there you go, across the pavement, down the road, just riding that bicycle. I was riding my bicycle. I got one in my office back there. I was riding it one day, Brother Mike. I was riding down the road down here. I was trying to do some exercising for some very personal reasons. Suits was getting a little snug. And I was riding down the road, and Ashlyn was talking to Kristen on the phone. And she says, "You're not going to believe this. I just, coming out of our church driveway down there, I just seen a Mormon on the bicycle." She said, "Oh, no, I'm sorry. That's Dad. Why has he got on a white shirt like that?" Thank you a whole lot. I appreciated that, you know. Wonder they can put it on Facebook. That's why. Another reason I don't like that stuff, okay? But I learned there's a right way to get started. Now, once you get started, you learn how to get that thing rolling. It's up to you. You can build your confidence. Has anybody ever seen people take them bicycles and do tricks with them? I'd appreciate it if you would agree with me right here, because I don't want you to disagree with me. Are they crazy? I mean, crazy. I've seen a guy climb steps on a bicycle. We used to call them buzz bikes. The little ones with the bullhorn handlebars. And he had one of them, and that thing, Jeremy, he wouldn't even pedal it. I don't even know if it pedaled. He would just bounce off the back tire. How many of y'all ever seen him do that? He would bounce from this level on the back tire only up to this level. Up to another level. Then he got to where there's a little wooden bridge. And it don't look like it's no more than a 2x6. Probably a 2x10 or 12. He bounced that bicycle across that. And you know, I don't know about you, but I hate to see people get hurt. You know, they've made that entertainment, people getting hurt on TV. And so I'm sitting there going, he's going to fall, bust his brains out. I'm going to witness it. I don't want to see it. But let me tell you what happened to that boy. Along the way, somewhere, he built some confidence. And he was willing to do some things that nobody else would do. And the Lord Jesus, when He saved me and when He saved you, He promised you that He wasn't going to leave you. He promised that He was going to change you. He promised He was going to make some things out of you. Being confident of this very thing, He which hath begun a good work. I'm not bouncing along on that little work. You say, why is it I ain't never been able to ride a bicycle like that? You ain't never tried. That takes a lot of work. That takes a lot of practice. I'm telling you, probably them boys that does that stuff, I've seen a Mother Tracy where they'll ride and they'll go up there and hit them roll up cliffs and turn flips and come down. I'm thinking, there ain't nothing in here. It scares me to see it. But there's something about it. It's so intriguing to watch. And so I'm looking at them in their confidence, willing to jump on any task in front of them. I'm thinking if we had that same kind of confidence, Brother Darnell, in the Lord Jesus Christ, we'd be able to face any mountain, we'd be able to face any storm, we'd be able to face any problems, we'd be able to face anything, any temptation. I mean, we could face anything that would come our way and say, you know, oh, I'm staying with Jesus. I'm gonna walk on with the Lord. I've come too far back, turn back now. I'm just just going to stay with the church and I'm staying with the Lord, I'm confident that I don't care if I walk onto the church property tonight and the devil has burnt the building down, God's still there and He'll still help me. I'm confident of that. He's proved Himself over and over and over and over again. He's proved how He'll not leave us. He's proved how He'll not forsake us. He's proved that even while we are, listen, while we are in the depths of our enjoyable sin, He still loves me. Wow, what a God. Wow, what a God. I'm confident of that today. I watch them slow down. I watch them running out of gas. I used to like to ride. You got to love it. Mr. Jim Potter, he likes to ride. He's trying to conform his wife into his image. A person who loves to ride. That's what I'm referring to. You know what I mean. And she rides. Maybe not quite as far as he does. But Jim doesn't mind pursuing a 50 or 60 or maybe even 100 mile bicycle trip. I know how far 100 miles is. I was born in Hazelhurst, Georgia. And it's just a shade over 100 miles from here to there. And under no stretch of the imagination can I see myself riding a bicycle to Hazelhurst. Brother Phil Skipper was here last time he was, one of the last few times he was here. I had not long gotten my bike and Brother Phil had one. He said, "Bro, let's just go for a ride." I said, "Sure.
I think he can ride, I can, I promise you that."
What are y'all laughing at? What are y'all thinking? And so, we're riding down the road and my phone rings and I answer my phone, it's Jared. I said, "Son, you'd never guess what me and Brother Phil's doing." He said, "What?" I said, "Riding the bicycles." He said, "What?"
Brother Mike said, "Amen."
Somebody that loves it is willing to go a lot further than somebody that don't. Somebody that loves it, Brother Darnell, they're willing to get physically prepared. I mean, they're not going to go out there and eat three turkeys and two hams and pull the bike out of the garage and say, "Let's go for a ride." But they're going to prepare.
Right.
And they're going to exercise. And if you and I are going to walk this Christian walk, and if we're going to live this Christian life, I'm telling you, you're going to face things every day you better be prepared for. Listen, you say, but do I need to walk? Do I need to not eat the turkey? Do I need to not eat? No, what you need to do is you need to eat some Word.
Amen.
Eat some Bible. Can I just tell you, if you're here this morning and you're visiting, God bless you. Thank you. I'm so glad you're here. You don't know. You know, I've seen Sister Maldine. Sister Maldine sitting back there. Well, hey, you know what? Yeah, amen. Hey, you know what? I told her when she came, I said, "Thank the Lord." I told her, "You made my day." Did I not tell you that one day? Well, I've told everybody else that same thing. So, everybody. I'm so happy to see everybody here. Good to see Chandler here this morning. I mean, it was a great expense for her to be here this morning. But the Holy Ghost knew she needed to be here this morning. I don't know why. But God made a way. Amen. Amen. I mean, what could have happened on that trip home? I mean, she could have got the bad wreck, got hurt worse, but she'd have been going faster. The man child would be replaced. Just kidding.
He said, that's a blessing.
We got to be ready. What's going to happen this afternoon? What's going to happen tomorrow? What's going to happen next week? I'm saying we've got to be prepared. You got to get in your Bible. You got to get in your prayer closet. You can't just call on God and say, Lord, I'm in dire need. I know it's been a long time since I've talked to you, and I'm sorry that it's been a long time, but I'm in a pinch, and I need you right now.
Brother Edwards, you don't think he'll hear my prayer? I'm sure he'll hear your prayer. But boy, wouldn't it be sweeter if you said, Lord? He said, oh, yeah, child. Wouldn't it be sweeter? Wouldn't it be sweeter if you just... Wouldn't it be sweeter if you just went to weeping over a broken situation and you felt the comfort of the Holy Ghost just wrap His arms around you without you even having to pray? You got to be prepared if you're going to make this long haul. You know what I found out? I've been reading over and over and over. The Lord said when He come back, He said, will I find faith? Has anybody beside me ever read that? He said, will I find faith? I believe the reason He said that, Brother Neil, is because there's a lot of folk going to quit. One or two things are going to happen, Brother Michael. A lot of folks either going to quit or a lot of folks are going to be deceived. That's what Matthew said. Many will be deceived for that time. During the tribulation time, we know that. But I'm telling you, for the church age, It can be kind of crazy out there sometime. You don't never know somebody pull up in front of your house on two bicycles. Amen. And if you don't know something about your Bible, here's what they're going to do. They're going to twist you. Because they didn't send a trainee. That's why all this stuff we've been going through. I hope you've been taking notes. Because my pastor taught it, and I didn't. And it's cost me tremendously. I've had to bury my face for the last several months on one topic. On one topic. I'm still reading my Bible. I'm still reading other stuff. But I'm telling you, Brother Mike, I've had to jump in this one topic. Amen.
More than several months. It's been a lot. It's been since first year. You know what I was wanting to do? I was wanting to get out there and ride. And we see other people ride, and we say, well, if he can do it, we can. And he's making it look easy. But he might be doing it for pleasure. He might not be doing it for competition. He might be doing it just because he wants to have fun. I'm not living this Christian life because I want to have fun. I want to live this Christian life because I love the Lord. Because He first loved me. He loves me. He loves me. He loves me. This I know. I know He loves me. You know who tells me that He don't? The enemy. You know who he tells you that he don't love you anymore? It's the enemy. So along this way, I found out, here's what people that love riding bicycles do. I never had no idea I was going to preach on a bicycle last week this time. But I know a guy that is so much into riding bicycles that he pushes within the city council to get bicycle paths paved. He's looking for a safe place for people to ride and enjoy. Now, as a Christian, one safe place for us to be is in the church. Would you agree with that? In this world, what safer place can we be in the church? And you say, but what if I don't know how to act in the church? Well, just look around.
Just see how everybody else is acting. Now, if you're acting in a way where you're standing out in a church, you know what I mean? A lot different. I mean, you might could learn something from that. When Jared learned to ride, he had to learn to get started. Then he learned that he could just ride. One day we was coming home. Brother Glenn was right down there in front of Uncle David's old house. I was coming home and Jared's on his bicycle. And he seen me and he stopped and he said, "Dad," he said, "let's race." Has there ever been a boy that rode a bicycle that didn't want to race something? Somebody? Somebody? Amen. Everybody. Everybody. And I said, "Okay, son." I said, "You go ahead of me. And I'll see how fast you're going." And I mean, just that quick, he can lose the thought of racing to wanting to see how fast he's going. He's happy. And so he's going, Brother Gary, and boy, I mean, them little old short legs was just at that time, though. They was just getting on that bicycle. And he rounded the corner. Is there anybody that's never been up where I live? Anybody don't know where I live? Okay. You come in the driveway and you make a hard left. And as soon as you make that left, you go a little short, real short distance. You make another left up there to my shed. That's where my wife makes me sleep when I'm in trouble out there in the doghouse out there, okay? And I'm telling you, he come around that corner and he was kicking that thing. And every time he hit it, you see that back tire just throw a little bit of dirt, you know. And he rounded that corner, and Brother Gary, as soon as he rounded that corner and headed toward that shed, he looked and there was a rattlesnake laying right in the middle of the driveway right there. Now, he's learned some confidence in riding his bicycle. Okay? This is a trick that I didn't know he had learned, but he's learned it somehow. He learned how to be rolling as fast as you could and pedaling as hard as you could. Lay that bicycle down and keep running in the opposite direction. Can you do that? I don't even want to try it. There's a big old rattlesnake laying right there in the... And I mean, as soon as I'm right there behind him. And I pulled up there. He said, "Dad," he said, "that's a big old rattlesnake. Can I kill it?" I said, "No doubt, son." I said, "It's on our property. We've already talked about all that. Snake on our property. He ain't a liver. And I don't mean an organ either. I mean somebody that's going to make it off the property." He said, "Can I go get my shotgun and shoot it?" I bought him a little 20-gauge pump. I said, "Do it." I didn't know this. This hindrance in his riding, there's an obstacle in the way. A very dangerous one. A one that was so dangerous for the Darnell, had he not been paying attention, he'd have run right up on that thing and it could have struck him. Now, everybody else didn't know what he's doing. Nobody around where we lived that knew what was going on. Nobody didn't care. Wasn't their business. So he goes in the house, gets a shotgun, and he comes back out. And when he comes back out, well, I'm like, you know, you can't kill a rattlesnake with one shot whenever you're just a young teenage boy, or not even a teenage boy, with your own 20-gauge pump shotgun. It'll hold five. How many shots do you think it's going to take? Do the math. I didn't know this. While he's over there making it sound like some kind of arsenal over in our yard, we've got friends that's driving up the driveway. Robert Malik Rudkin. And they're pulling up into it. They just passed a sign that says, "Do not enter." Right out there. You seen it right there at our driveway right there. They just passed the sign that says, I'm talking about somebody having some confidence in the Savior. And as soon as they pull him through, they hear, boom, 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 boom. Boom. And I had to count, And they said, man, we didn't know somebody was shooting at us or what. There was danger lying in the way. And I found out this, Brother Ron. You can learn to ride. And you can learn in your learning process, your training. Then there's that maintaining process where you're just riding everywhere you go. And you better learn how to stop. Because sometimes stopping is dangerous. And if you don't stop well, you're going to be mad at everybody else that don't stop. Like you did. If you crash somewhere along the way and somebody else just keeps a ride, you're going to say, them old bunch of hypocrites, they didn't have to go through what I went through. You know how we are about that. That jealousy just consumes us. Would you agree? Yesterday, Faith and I went to a... I had to go to Fernandina. And we stopped back by Home Depot and this nice lady waited on us. And she lives over here. Don't you listen real close to me now. Are you done up there? Can you turn that loose or no? Come to the piano if you would, please. Let it run. And this nice lady come up to wait on us. And she saw my church, the Kingdom Baptist Church. She said, is that ever on Douglas Drive? I said, it is. I said, you know where we're at? She said, I do. She said, I go to the Methodist Church. Been going there for about 15 years now. I said, well, amen. I asked her if she's a Christian. She said, I am. Another one, please forgive me. I didn't drill her either to make sure that all of her T's was crossed and I's was dotted. And she's standing there, Brother Jay. I'd have probably got excommunicated if some of the good brethren would have heard what I'm fixing to tell this lady. She said, there's a reason that I don't go to a Baptist church. I said, okay. And she said, some things happened, the experience that took place in my life at a Baptist church one time. I said, well, I'm sorry to hear that. I said, I know this. I said, this is not something I've read, but this is something that I know. I said, Baptists can sometimes be mighty mean. I said, just to be honest, she said, well, I wasn't going to say it like that. She was real gracious. Really, she was. I said, well, I don't mind. I said, I am one. And I said, I know some. I said, I've seen them when they're plumb hateful. She said, yes, sir. She said, I went to a church. She said, I took my kids as little. She said, somebody there had a church, had a dog. She said, that dog bit my kid. She said, they blamed it on us. She said, you ought to know that dog would bite. That's what they told her. I said, ma'am, I'm so sorry. I said, I don't know if it was even worth the effort, but I give her one of her cards. And I had to say it like this, Brother Glenn. Because I don't know. I know what kind of confidence Christ has put in me. But I don't know what kind of confidence Christ has put in you. I said, ma'am, if you'll come on time, I promise you this, I'll be kind to you. I said, I want to say, everybody there will be. But I don't know that. The reason I don't know that is because from time to time, people can make you lose confidence in them. If my focus is on the goodness of God, if somebody in here this morning could just remember where He got you from, if anybody could remember what kind of cesspool He drug you out of, if you just knew what your righteousness was like. Jeremiah said it was like stinking pus oozing soaked rags. He said, my confidence, my righteousness is as filthy rags. Who are you going to win if you don't know how to ride? Who are you going to help? Who are you going to help? Who are you going to help if you don't know how to keep you balanced? Who's going to want what you've got if you don't look like you're enjoying the trip? I'll finish with this. I've told this story before. It's been a long time. We used to have a dog. He was so mean you couldn't pet him. Honestly, he was just so mean. The last opportunity that he had to find a home was at our house, and it was on the say-so of my dad. And Daddy got tired not being able to pet him, because every time Daddy walked out there, he tried to bite him. We got the dog from Brother Dormley. The dog was so mean, he was literally, big old German Shepherd, would jump on the neighbor's cows, just bite them. They had to get rid of him. Why we wanted him, I don't even know. I can't remember that part. It's a big gray area in life. Daddy told me one day, he says, I'm not tired of that dog. He says, I'm going to go pet him. I said, that dog will bite you. He said, no, that dog ain't going to bite me today. He walked in his room. He had a Colt 1911. Government issue 45 automatic. Can I paint that picture any better for you? Y'all know what I'm talking about? He kept it loaded and ready. He didn't even have to do this. He walked out the back door. I said, Dad, don't kill the dog. He said, all right, son. How long has he let me pet him? He walked out there and that dog stood up. And you could just see his hair stand up on the back of his neck. And Dad just kept walking to him, Brother Bill. He said, I want you to bite me. And walked right up to him. And Chris, he sensed what that was. I mean, that dog had a visual of his casket in front of him. You hear me? You know what my dad done? He said, now, that's a whole lot better, boy. He reached right over there and pet him. Am I telling right, Mom? You say you think he'd have shot him? As sure as Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father. I know him. When we had to keep him chained, the only way for him to get some exercise was I'd hook him to the front of my bicycle. I'm trying to find an age that I was about that age, right over there. Ian said, oh. I'm thinking, how old are you now, Michael J? Oh, yeah. I'd hook that rascal to the front of my bicycle, my handlebars. And he just run. Boy, I'm telling you, he loved it. Once he got off under that shed, he wasn't mean no more. He liked exercise and liked running. And I liked him pulling me. Because I'm riding. But I'm not riding under the power and the guidance and the learning that I had gotten. I'm riding under the power of somebody else that I really don't know. And I'm following. I'm not riding. Just following. You're following when you're going like that. I know young folks, you don't ever follow nobody. Because you follow somebody, they're going to take you into paths of unrighteousness. They're going to take you in places where you don't need to be. Because little by little by little, your conscience will be seared and your testimony will be tainted. But we've done this every day. It was good. Till one day. We're riding along there, or I'm riding. He's running. He's exercising. That's what he wanted. I wanted the ride. I was lazy. And a squirrel crossed the road. A German Shepherd can run pretty close to around, I'm guessing, 25, 30 miles an hour. I mean, they ain't race horses, but they can make speed. And they can turn on a dime. And my dad is going to work, and behind me, and I didn't know it, he saw it all. And he snatched the front end out from under the bicycle sideways. And I look like a man learning to water ski for the first time. Anybody knows anything about water skiing? I doubt there's ever anybody ever just jumped on and got up the first time and went. They face down onto the dirt road, Brother Charles. And, of course, my first reaction was to jump up, and hoping nobody was looking, but my dad was sitting behind me laughing. And so that made me madder at the dog, and I've taken the chain and I'm beating the dog. And he said, "Hey, son, don't do that dog like that." He said, "He's just doing what's natural for him." He said, "You're following him." I thought I was riding. I thought I was riding. But what I was doing, I was following something that I shouldn't have been following. And when you follow, are you listening to me? When you follow something you ain't supposed to be following, somewhere along the way, you're going to be face first. Busted head. Bleeding. And nobody blame but you. I ask you this morning, how's your ride going? You doing well? Are you impressing others? Are you able to teach somebody? Or you just long for the ride, waiting on somebody to snatch the front end out from under your bicycle? Because if you're just riding on everybody else, it's coming. I told them last night, I said, "I love this church. My prayer is that God would do again for this church, do again for this church what I've seen God do before. I love this church. I wish I had more than four people to help me right there. I love this church. I want to see God do again what He's done for this church." Say, so what do you want to see? I want to see revival. I've seen it. Lindsay, we've seen it. You say, you think we really had revival? I think so. Now, I know those people said, but there's always going to be in a wet blanket trying to put fire out. Well, I know that. There's always somebody that don't like something. What's that got to do with us? Get it telling. Get it rolling. Encourage somebody. Let them know you love them. If they tell you got that black jacket on and they don't like it, don't worry about it. Defriend them. Say, I can't do you do that. Ooh. You don't know me well then. In a minute, in a second, if I had Facebook, all I'd have to have is somebody to say something critical to me one time, not twice, no second chances, not twice, one time, and they would never see nothing I put on there again. And if they asked me, I'd just tell them, say, you're too critical.
Amen.
I'm trying to ride, and you're nitpicking my riding. I want to teach somebody else how to ride. And you don't think I'm holding the handlebars right. I'm trying to ride. I'm trying to help some kids ride. I'm trying to help them. I'm trying to be a blessing to them. I'm trying to encourage them to ride on. And you don't like the color of my bike. You don't like my pedals. Let's all stand together. I want to ask you this morning. Are you riding? Are you riding? Are you riding or have you jumped off? Have you jumped off? Sometimes we jump off, don't we? Sometimes we just, I'm going to rest a while. You very rest very long. That'll mean you didn't like it as much as you said you liked it. Jim, I might be wrong, but I'm going to say, but I don't think so. He is a faithful rider. Every day he does some type of exercising, whether it's swimming, riding, to keep himself maintained, ready to go. Does he ride every day? He wants to. He wants to because he loves it. You know what I want to do every day? I want to be a witness every day. And I hear this all the time, Brother Gary. I hear this all the time. Brother Edward, if anybody in the world talked to you, he will. Well, I talked to about 5 different people this week that don't come to church here about coming to church. Because I don't know other way to correspond. Who you talk to? Who do you know that? You got to ride. You got to get on and go. You got to watch out for them rattlesnakes laying in the road. Girls, you got to be watching them snakes. You better watch them. The devil's tried to make it enticing and intriguing in the hour we live in. Brother Jay and people's got what they call a pet snake. If that ain't an oxymoron, there ain't no such thing. I'm watching out for him so I can kill him. Because I don't want him to grow up hurting nobody. I love you this morning, church. You need to pray. Maybe you're riding well. Thank the Lord that you are. And if you are, ask him to just help you ride on. But if you're not riding too good, why don't you come ask him to teach you how to ride? Teach you how to ride. Father, I pray that you'd help us this morning, God. We need you. Lord, I love you. And I pray, Lord, that if you would this morning, God, you'd take these few little simple words. God, we need to learn how to get started. God, we need to learn how to maintain. Lord, we need to learn how to stop safely so we can help others. In Jesus' name I pray. Help us, Lord, please. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Amen. You need to come pray? Come on. Some's already come. Come ask the Lord. Come tell the Lord. Lord, help me. Help us in our home, God. Help us to learn how to ride together. Help me on my job, Lord. Please help me learn how to ride on the job. What about young people? You riding well? Riding well? Just because you know what a bicycle is don't mean you know how to ride. Learn to ride. Let's learn to ride for the Lord. Let's be good riders in the church. Let's talk about something. I've talked to Mr. Jim Potter about his riding a lot. They live out of Harris Bluff on that road. Not one of the best roads in Camden County. Not the smoothest by far. I've asked him about his rides a lot of times. And he would tell me, that's good. He'd tell me about his destination. He'd tell me about where they were going. He'd tell me about maybe how far it was. But he never complained about the road. Wow. He never complained about the road. Wouldn't you think if there's something that we would complain about, it'd be the road and a ride? Do you know what most Christians does? They complain about the road they're on instead of looking at the destination ahead. Boy, that's what we need to see, Brother Gary. Father, please help us, oh God. Please help us. Please help us, Lord. Help me be a good rider. Back tonight, if you would, please, 6:00. I'd love to see everybody here. Good tonight. Get you a good afternoon of rest. Good afternoon of rest. Tangerines and oranges and grapes. Sister Barbara, everything else has been taken care of. The fruit that Sister Barbara needed for the nursing home, the bananas have been provided, and the apples have been provided. Pardon? Not going to do apples, okay. I thought that had been a bit hard to chew on, yeah.
but tangerines and oranges and grapes, seedless grapes. Everybody else says they want to get to heaven and ask the Lord why He made mosquitoes and gnats. And I want to know why He put seeds in grapes. Amen. I love seedless grape. Amen. I do. I'm just kidding. I'm not going to ask the Lord why He made seeds and grapes. Since I can see look on her face. Amen. Amen. Brother Neil, dismiss us in prayer, if you would, please, brother. Amen. Amen. Be careful. Love you, buddy. We'll see you tonight, okay?
We'll be good.
Have fun in that. You not coming back?
No.
Okay. Well, I hope we may witness over there. We try to.
Come on, wouldn't you? How you doing this morning?